Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, my name's Cliff, and this is Brett and Cliff's Flea Circus.
Yes, it is, and I'm Brett, hello.
Hello, is that a bottle of Budweiser I see before me?
Budweiser?
Yes.
That's what I call it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I call it. I'd like to see it. Yes, that's one of the main reasons. Remember when that cheeky girl winked at us? Were you there?
Oh, how many times are you going to mention that?
It's been claimed to fame, man, isn't it? I'd like to say good evening to all the winos listening.
Okay.
I'd like to say.
Why?
Just because, you know, they're not mentioned very often.
They're not, are they? I think they've fallen out of favour.
Uh-huh. Well,
funny you should say it. Serendipitously. I'm reading Nile Rodgers of Chic. I'm reading his autobiography at the minute.
He's not a wino.
Nobody talks about winos. Like, last thing I read was he was talking about winos and his community when he was a kid.
Right. Did he call them street punks?
No, he just said I was hanging around with the winos. They used to write them notes for school. Like, Niall can't come in today. He's got bad asthma, so he's had an asthma attack. Sorry, he couldn't come in yesterday because of that. And he would get the winos, in his words, to write the notes for him so he could hand them in. So yeah, I haven't heard the word winos in a long time. And then,
well, there you go.
Tell you what,
just a crazy.
I've read about 40 pages of this book. It's absolutely amazing. Nile Rodgers has done more before the age of 6 than I have in my entire life.
What's he done before the age of 6, Nile Rodgers? Phil Wayne?
It's absolutely amazing. His life's crazy. Like, his home life, it's not good. It's certainly not normal. Mm-hmm. But he's been brought up by, like, his mom, his auntie, his nana, who's not really his real nana, but it's his biological dad's grandma or something like that. The family setup is crazy, and his mom and her his stepdad, her beau, are like Hepcat bebop heroin addicts. And like, they've just got, he's like, oh, I didn't understand why all of these people were like sleeping standing up in my house when I was a little kid. Like, I would just be changing the records and stuff like that, and these guys are just asleep. And then I realized what was going on a bit later. Like, honestly, it's absolutely like crazy. Like, this life that he had as a little kid, he's lived in about 4 places. He's had about 5 grandmas and moms and stuff like that. It's not nice, but it's
interesting.
Yeah, interesting. Obviously, formative for him.
I take it you've finished the Stephen King book then, obviously, if we've moved on to a
I just gave up about 10 pages from the end. No, I finished.
I'm not even bothered. What do you think of that then?
I thought it was really good. I don't think it needed to be as long as it was. Like, I know I always say that about stuff, but I really like the premise. I really like the story that they delved into, and you know, this butterfly effect theory and all of that kind of stuff. You know, I liked it, but I didn't think, like, it went into quite a lot of detail about a lot of stuff that it didn't really need to.
I mean, there's a massive part of it's like the love story bit, isn't it? And that takes ages, doesn't it? Like, in the middle of the book.
I get it, because it gives it its heart, right? Like, it, that gives him his binary choice about whether he does what he intended to do or he does that love story thing.
So he also meets two of the kids from It in the book.
Yes, I know. Well, now I realize there's bits and pieces in it that are that I know you've always said, and from the bits and pieces that I've watched, there's always like little what people call Easter eggs these days, but you know, there's little references to other things that he's
done. They're all connected. Yeah. All the books are all connected and in the same universe and stuff. So yeah. I've had that now. I like that.
But yeah, I recognised a couple of things that were part of it, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Which is good and clever, you know, and I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I did enjoy the book, but yeah, I think there's a lot of bits where it was a bit much. Like, did he need to go into all of that stuff with the girlfriend? Did he need to keep going back to the same, you know, every time they went to that bungalow for a bunk up on a weekend? Like, okay, we get it. Do we need to hear about it like five times? Like, you know, and all that. But yeah, really, really good.
I like the bit where, is it a court hanger that our boyfriend has?
A broom.
His mother make him have a coat hanger or something like that, but he's not.
Yeah,
it's like delves into like really awful stuff.
Yeah,
at certain bits.
And again, I think you need that to some extent in terms of how that character develops. But I think, you know, I mean, it's not a long time ago when he wrote this stuff, so I think it's almost like this was written with a TV series in mind. That's what I thought. Maybe because I know there is one that makes us think.
Yeah, maybe so.
I think, like, you can see some of it. You could see, like, you know, that's what good books do. But you could see it in a kind of very televisual way. But yeah, I thought it was really, really good. The first Stephen King book I've read.
Yes, well
from
done.
Start to finish.
Well done to you. Hey Cliff, I got a job alert this week on my phone, and I immediately thought of you. It sounded like something that you'd like to
go
do.
On, then.
Okay.
Go on.
It's described this as an exciting opportunity, right?
Okay. Well, my ears are pricked.
You're in there straight away, aren't you? You're in there straight away, and the exciting opportunity is to be the head of pain at the NHS.
Head of
nice,
pain,
isn't it?
Okay.
The head of pain. See, I knew you'd like that.
I didn't know
you?
They had that type of cape going on at the NHS.
It is the head of pain, because you like all that kinky stuff, don't you? The Buddhism.
Buddhism, of course. I mean, not to be confused with the Amusur. Very different ends of the spectrum. But you know, I do enjoy both, just not at the same time.
No, don't mix the two. Definitely not.
And
so,
honest,
what do you think about?
Yeah. I only like quite light Buddhism.
Do you like Buddhism?
A few slaps of the balls. So, you know.
A few little slaps.
A flick of the bell end, maybe.
A tweak of the nips.
Oh, go on, Drew. We've got to draw the line somewhere.
Just don't take it that far. So what do you think that you have to do if you're the head of pain? I mean, I don't actually know.
Are you sure it's not head of paint?
No, it's definitely not the head of paint. It's definitely the head of pain. It's an NHS job. What do you think?
Still people painting in the NHS.
Yeah, but like, you know, that's like a janitor's job or something, surely, isn't it? Not the head of pain. So what do you think, if you are the head of pain, what do you think that entails? Just dishing it out.
Are you stopping the pain?
I don't think you're stopping the pain. I think you're overseeing the overall pain of the whole hospital. That's what I think. And also, your office is called the House of Pain. That's what I think.
Can you hear us munching?
Yeah, they shouldn't do that. You know, it's terrible. That's no one.
I'm trying to do the amateur.
Slopping about.
I'm trying to do the amateur for people.
What's an amateur?
Amateur.
Amateur. No,
people like that shit.
What? Eating.
Like noise, like background noise and stuff. I thought people
nobody likes
thought
it.
It was soothing for people.
It's not soothing for people. Put them right off. Listening to you splutter about and that.
Well, I'm sorry, but I do have to keep eating these chocolate.
What biscuits. Are they? Looks like shit.
It's like a kind of a cookie and another cookie and then chocolate.
Cookie hat. Right. Cliff Jail, so, my Viscounts.
Yeah, I only know one or two, but they're both perfectly pleasant.
Set you up for that one, didn't I?
But yeah, I do need to keep eating these biscuits because you remember that order of food that went missing, those groceries?
Yes.
Well, what I discovered was I thought I'd bought a normal little packet of biscuits, but what I've bought is a shop's worth of these.
A shop's worth of the same biscuit.
No, but you know, like if you go to what's it called? I was gonna say
Matt Costco.
Land. That's not right.
Costco.
Yeah, I basically got a fucking massive. I didn't know it was like 2 times 100 grams or whatever, but obviously wasn't what it was that I ordered. So I'll just keep eating them throughout this if you don't mind.
Right. Well, I do actually. Costco's shit, isn't it? It's supposed to be cheap, but it's not cheap at all, is it? You know what I mean?
Not sure.
And how do you obtain a Costco card? You've got to be a Viscount. I think it is the Mason. It's like you've got to be a wholesaler or something. It's not even that cheap. I used to go with my mum and dad. It was awful.
Well, how did they get
the Although, card? I don't know. I think they borrowed it off somebody, some wholesaler maybe, just for the weekend. That's what I think. But yeah. I did once see the food stuff, corn dogs, being sold.
Okay, well, I don't know what that is really. I've just seen them on lots of films.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what they were. I wish I had gotten them, actually.
Can you explain to us what a wholesaler is?
Yes, it's a person that sells a whole lot of shit. That's what it is. What do you think it is?
I've got absolutely no idea.
I assume it's someone who owns a shop or something like that, you know. Okay. So they buy the from Costco or whatever and fill their shops with it.
Or maybe an industrial scale paedophile.
Is there such a thing? Industrial scale.
Can I have your biggest box of lollies? We've got a big weekend planned.
That is terrible. Yeah,
I will be cutting that out.
You'll keep that bit in. That's good. I've watched a little bit of TV, old TV this week, Cliff.
Okay,
and
tell
I watched. I watched Only Fools and Horses.
All of it.
And there was most of it. I've got this channel on me thing that just plays all of the episodes and stuff back. And there was an episode where Uncle Albert disappeared. Now, can you, Cliff, guess what song was playing while Derek Trotter and Rodney Trotter were trying to find him? Well, I'll give you a clue. It's by Paul McCartney.
Oh, is it? We're so sorry, Uncle Albert.
Yes, of course it was. I loved it. It was absolutely brilliant.
I think that was a number one in America, you know.
What? What's the other bit? Admiral Halsey or something?
Admiral Halsey notified me.
What a load of shitness. Remember, I think that's on the anthology.
Yeah. I still listen to it. It's funny.
Yeah, I know. It's still good. I still like it, but it is shit as well at the same time.
It's both, isn't it? Like a lot of Paul McCartney songs.
Yeah.
Even Live and Let Die. I had Live and Let Die on a day. It's brilliant, but also really
I love Live and Let Die. Like, I
you
really
need
like
to hear all of that. Do, 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 do. Like, you don't need it. Nobody needs to hear it.
I do. I need to hear it. But yeah, we heard it on the anthology. I remember me and you listened to the anthology. I'm sure Uncle Albert was on there. Me,
I don't
was
think
just
it
like...
is, but I used to have a Wings thing when I was a teenager. And I think
was it not? I'll have to check that because I'm sure I've got distinct recollections of me and you listening to it on the anthology.
I mean, I know no Junk's on there, and we used to take the piss out of Junk and Teddy Boy, but I don't think Admiral Halsey's on there. Also, those two terrible songs.
Junk isn't. Bicycles.
It's all right. Motor cars for two.
Broken hearted Jubilee. Sounds like the MASH theme tune.
Yeah, actually, that's a good shout, that. Have you watched any of the new Masters of the Universe on the Netflix?
I haven't, but I saw that you tweeted about it, and that did perk me interest, especially by what you tweeted.
God, what did I say?
Yeah, I think you said
somebody that man at arms punched a horse.
Man at arms punched a horse, the daft bastard, or something like that.
I think it's been well documented by this point, but anybody who for some reason wants to watch Masters of the Universe and hasn't watched it yet, it's called Revelations.
Does it reveal out?
I think the revelation is that He-Man dies in 10 minutes in the first episode.
Does he?
Yeah.
How can he kill He-Man?
It's just about the. It's more about Teela.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, isn't that surprising? Because isn't it that Kevin Smith fella who's doing it?
It is Kevin Smith. People love him, don't they? But you know what, Brad?
Why, just get some clothes. Get some clothes that fits you. You know what I mean? He's lost loads of weight. I know he's been poorly in that, but still, he's wearing the same clothes when he was fat.
Yeah, even when he was fat, they were too big. It was exactly. Like, it was like he had been shrunk.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm not.
I do like a couple of his films, but it's not for me. You know, there is a big audience out there, I understand the audience that likes it, but they're just not my people.
They're not your kind of people, as Barrymore would say. Are they?
It does take every kind of people, Brett, but you don't have to be friends with all of them, do you?
No, I did see a good clip of Michael Barrymore singing a Backstreet Boys song. Have you seen that?
Incredible. To be honest, I'll watch Michael Barrymore all day long. I think we should do some Barrymore.
He's innocent, as my mom said.
He's been proved innocent, hasn't he?
Of course he is. He's done no wrong. Everyone knows that.
I think we should do some Barrymore. I told you about that's amazing. Have you seen the one?
We should. I told you about me mum at that day. Hold on. I told you about me mum when we went to watch him at Scrooge, didn't I?
I don't think so. I mean, maybe you have.
Well, he was playing Ebenezer Scrooge at the Empire and in A Christmas Carol.
Oh, yeah.
And it was class. It was absolutely brilliant. And like he got a standing ovation at the end, and me mum stood up and went, "You're innocent, Michael! You're innocent!" Right in front of his face.
Not only was it a great performance, but I am reaffirming that you're innocent.
You were brilliant and innocent.
There's a great clip of him. Have you seen? Is it "I'll See You When You Get There"? Have you seen the clip of that?
I think so.
Of him when he's talking, he's like talking like a spoken word rap over the top of it. It's absolutely amazing.
what program was that? Was that his own?
That was Michael Barrymore's Every Kind of People.
Was it? Right. We're definitely going to have to do that.
We should watch it, because essentially it was half of people in the studio, like, I don't know, people in wheelchairs that he wanted to say, but aren't they really good? Just because they're in a wheelchair doesn't mean that they can't get up and sing or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then half of it was him.
Well, they can't get up, but they can sing.
He could appear.
Well, he's a faith healer now, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, yeah. I think he is, to be honest.
Do you think he is?
I think that's really his true calling. But the other half of the show was him in shopping centres presenting kids dancing and then shoving them off stage and dancing himself in a pretend Irish jig. Always an Irish jig.
He didn't like the limelight stolen away from him, did he?
Absolutely not. It was always like, oh, let's have a talent show in a shopping center. And then he just totally destroyed everybody's.
Totally took over everything. I'm going to have to do it.
Let's dig out every kind of people. Also, he sang that song at every show.
Which one? The Backstreet Boys?
No, Every Kind of People. He sang it live on every show.
Oh, like, right. The rapping thing.
No. The song Every Kind of People.
Oh. That they sing it, so I know what it is.
Takes Every Kind of People. Robert Palmer.
I'm thinking of Everyday People.
By Arrested Development.
Yes, sir. That's what I was thinking.
And Sly the Family Stone, I think. Do you want to talk about that's it. See you.
Bye.
See you later. Do you want to talk about Alternative 3?
We can talk about Alternative 3, because that's what we watched, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch it all?
Yes, I just finished watching it, and I don't really know what to make of it, so I'll let you describe
it,
and I'll tell you what I thought.
Yeah, it's a weird one, this one. It's a fictional hoax documentary, this one. It was only broadcast once in the United Kingdom, and it was apparently banned in the United States. For what reason? I don't know. Right? There's absolutely no need to that whatsoever. So it's a bit like if anybody's, well, a lot of people will have heard of, like, you know, Orson Welles' War of the Worlds and stuff like that. He did like a radio play where it terrified people and people thought it was real. This is very, very similar. But it starts off as an investigation into the UK's brain drain. Now, I hadn't really heard that term before, but apparently that was the thing in the 70s where scientists and stuff like that and well-educated people would just be leaving the United Kingdom because, you know, the facilities and stuff like that were shit and they weren't paid enough. So they're investigating why people are leaving. But they soon uncover why these people are suddenly leaving and disappearing.
Yeah.
And it's because we're setting up base on the moon and we want to shoot people off to Mars to live on Mars. Because of the fact that the world's going to end due to climate change.
It's quite a heavy subject. It starts off, it's a very ominous show, isn't it? So it was 1977 it was broadcast. And it was based out of a screenplay and a story that somebody wanted to make as a work of drama, like, you know, just a normal film. But then they had the idea that this kind of fake documentary would work. It was originally meant to come out on April the 1st, and it's set up as an episode of a called Science Report on ITV. It was on Anglia TV when ITV was made up of regional producers. So this was a real show, and this was meant to it did appear as an episode of it, but this one was about stuff that wasn't really real. And the idea was it was going to be out on April the 1st, and everybody would get it. But it didn't come out on April the 1st, and everyone thought it was real.
Pretty much, that's exactly it. I mean, that's partly why I chose it, because it was April the 1st. We love a good hoax, and obviously it's your birthday, so yes, that was partly why I picked it. And the other reason why I picked it was because I found it because we're doing Allo Allo last week.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, so obviously the people in it are actors, apart from one or two people who are, like, the presenter's a real presenter of the show.
He's a real presenter, aye.
And then there's one bit, and you know what, I was kind of like, I had it on and I was making a sandwich or something, and I heard the guy's voice. I was like, hang on, I listened to that voice last week, and it's fucking one of the natives. Hello.
It is Richard Marner, I think his name is, and he's like instantly recognizable, isn't he? Obviously, this was 1977, and
before Hello
Hello was the 80s.
Yeah,
it's before Hello Hello. But there is other people in it, like the astronaut and stuff like that, who's in it, who's like, was in Thunderbirds and Star Wars.
I don't think anybody would recognize him from Thunderbirds, to be honest.
No, he did the voice for Scott Tracy, I think.
I can't deal
like that.
with that bit in this.
Can you not? Well, we'll talk about it in order anyway. So, yeah, I picked it for that reason, but I also picked it because for some reason people think it's real. Still, to this
still think that if they don't think the documentary is real, they think that it was made because it's a real thing.
It's a real premise,
and this was the only way that anybody's ever managed to talk about it. So it starts with these kind of ominous. This man, the professor, whoever, blah, 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 did this thing. And then he was never seen again. And then it moves on to the next person. And these people have all gone missing after meant to be boarding planes to Australia or New York and stuff like this. And then nobody's ever seen them again. And then it starts going into why people, like you say, it's assumed they're leaving because of the brain drain and they're going off to work in Sydney or New York or wherever.
Which I assume is why you're in Dubai. Is that true? Have you been enveloped by the brain drain?
This is the center of the drain.
It's the vortex of the drain.
It is. But which way around is it going? I think it's Andy.
Well, exactly.
I think it's Andy.
Who knows? Who knows? So, I mean, there is a great bit where they're investigating people missing and stuff like that, and investigating why this particular solar scientist has just disappeared.
Yeah.
And they're in the car park, and a car's just there all by itself.
Yeah.
That's the only evidence that she's ever been there. I mean, why wouldn't these people get rid of the car? They don't need to do that. They don't need to cover anything up.
No, there's no attempt to cover up like that. These people have disappeared in a mystery. I think it's quite believable at first. Uh-huh. And you've got to kind of think about the era and the year it was released and stuff. Like,
definitely, aye.
You know, like, you used to spoof documentaries and stuff now, like we were talking about mm-hmm. before, but at this point, I mean, Matt, and also, you know, we've got the internet now, we can check anything. Like then,
yeah.
Like if you're watching a documentary on ITV, that's part of a series called Science Report, and they're saying, uh-huh. Yeah, well, in the winter of 74 in New York, this happened. You wouldn't uh-huh. know whether that was true or not, really, would you? Because I was thinking that obviously they would know that this earthquake mm-hmm. didn't fucking engulf Mexico City, because you would know, but maybe you wouldn't.
That's true. I mean, it's like a massive precursor to all the other things that we've talked about and stuff. I mean, like the Blair Witch that tried to convince mm-hmm. you that it was real or what have you. You know, we've talked about them loads, haven't we? But obviously, like you say, in 1977, There's none of that. This is one of the first things, like Ghost Watch and stuff like that afterwards. I was pretty convinced as a kid that Ghost Watch was real.
I think
was
everyone was, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
I'm still scared. But, I mean,
exactly. Let's just not talk about it. But yeah, this is like one of the first things, apart from obviously the Orson Welles War of the Worlds thing, that you know, people believed in, that they actually believed that it was real. And I mean, obviously the circumstances surrounding it and stuff like that, like it was supposed to be, it aired on April 1st, but they couldn't because there was some issue with the strikes or whatever. Mm-hmm. So they had to do it in June. And in June of 1977 was like one of the hottest summers.
Yeah, so it was, right? Ever. So there's this bit in it talking about the drought and
yeah.
You know, is this climate change is affecting this stuff, which is why they're looking at alternative places. There's three alternative mm-hmm. options for where humans can go to survive, or how they uh-huh. can survive. That's where the title comes from. But actually, like you say, when it was broadcast, like, yeah, it was hot. And it's actually, you can see why cranks would still think it's real or believe mm-hmm. in the shit, because it is actually really prescient about what's happening now.
It is. Uh-huh.
It could be made now and it would be, it yeah. would still work.
What about who provides the music, though? I think I know that you like this guy,
yes,
don't
so
you?
Yes, so Brian Eno, but what I will say is it is cat-averse, this music.
I think he's only released one track or whatever from the whole thing, but there's a bit at the start which is, like, mental.
Yeah.
Like, when the science report thing comes on.
Yeah.
It's yeah. just class. I love that bit. Absolutely.
I don't dislike,
but it's like
don't dislike
haunting.
It. But the cat did. Like, it was going absolutely mental.
But that's good, isn't it? Like, you know, if music affects your dogs or your cats, mm-hmm. it's a good thing.
It's also Pink Floyd. I can't listen to pigs or animals or, you know, I can't listen to any of that shit because the cat goes mad.
Yeah. Good. I like all that shit. I like all that shit. So back to the plot, such as it is.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got the missing people, haven't we? But yep. also we have a missing scientist who skids off the road and crashes his car, doesn't he? Yeah, he's killed by a freak skid. And he's accompanied by a reporter, a lady reporter, who is a mixture of Alan Partridge...
Uh-huh.
And everything that's good in Brass Eye.
Yes, I was going to say it's like Gina McKee in Brass Eye. And G.
exactly like that. It's like she's standing next to some gate or whatever, isn't she? And she just slams the gate and then speeds off in a Ford Cortina.
You can't see what she's on about when she's saying, like, and there's no trace of this. Like,
It's just nonsense. It's complete nonsense. And I love the bit where there's like pictures of like the crash scene or whatever, and they're just nonchalantly throwing them on top of each other.
Yeah, that's all. And you're just like, there was no trace. The scientists said the skin was non-existent and all of this kind of stuff. It's just so funny. I like that bit.
It's class. And then the guy who's like the main presenter, he says the words random cacophony. So I like that for that reason.
The random cacophony.
A random cacophony.
So then you end up meeting or seeing that there's now these different investigative reporters who are trying to piece together what's really happening with this stuff.
Yeah.
And they find an astronaut.
They do find an astronaut who he's been to the moon, landed in the wrong place, and discovered that there's all these sort of, you know,
there's shit there. There's not meant to be anybody there.
Exactly. There's all kinds of stuff there. He's not meant to have seen it and stuff. And apparently he's had a nervous breakdown due to it. He's an alcoholic and everything. Mm-hmm. But he's managed to maintain probably the fittest woman I've ever seen. How's he managed that? She's getting him beers and that.
He meets the reporter and he's telling them about it. And then he's like, I'll come round mine tomorrow and I'll tell you like more. And then they go around his house and it's like he doesn't know what they're on about. He's in bed. And I'm going to say volatile.
Slightly volatile, isn't he? Mr. Colin Benson goes to meet him, who's the reporter. who previously meets a strange American fella with a hidden camera, which is the biggest camera I've ever seen in my life.
Camera, and it's from miles away, so it's not like
it's in like a car. It fills the back of the car.
It's not like it's in his like tie or something when he's talking to him. It's from over the road.
It's absolutely brilliant. And he's we're going to meet this guy. And he gives like he thumbs up to the cameras.
He says, like, we know that it's unethical to obtain the interview in this way, but we thought it was the only
Some
way
might to... find this unethical.
That was it.
Yeah. It started getting like pretty funny and stuff.
And then,
like that,
so it's point, about right? this point, I was like, does anybody really think this is true anymore? Like, the beginning, I thought, was fairly convincing.
Yeah.
But it gets to this point, and I'm like, well, this is ridiculous, especially when the astronaut attacks the camera and attacks the guy, leaps out of bed in a rage.
He does. Is he on acid or something? Is he on acid or something?
The guy says, oh, is he on acid?
Colin Benson.
Benson, you square.
the professor guy who's been skinned to death off the road, he's got this tape, which is apparently blank, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
It's all static.
Yes, white it's all noise. Static. But he's been killed because of it, we'll find out. Mm-hmm. And the American guy who they've secretly taped, he has got this coding machine, this circuit or whatever, which is called a jukebox, which will decode the tape.
Yeah.
Haven't they?
Yeah.
And we'll find out what's really going on. And what's really going on is what, Cliff? What's happening?
So I guess the best bit or the bit that kind of explains it is when they go and see this German scientist, our friend from Allo Allo. And he says, like, look, years ago we realized that the Earth is heading for extinction, like it's going to be destroyed. There's too many people on it and we're fucking it up. So basically exactly what's happening now, overpopulated and overpolluted. So the Earth's going to die. So what happened was they asked us to come up with three solutions. Alternative one, two, and three. The first one is we have a mass culling of people, which I think is Avengers Endgame. I think that's that story. The second one is we build an underground world where we can survive underground. And the third one is we like prepare for life on Mars. And but you know, like you were saying, I can't really tell you the third one. Like,
He was saying like, I proposed these ideas. The first two were nonsense. The third one was all right, but I didn't know what, you know, if they did anything about it type thing. Yeah. And then they go back to him afterwards. He goes, all right. We're on Mars.
Yeah.
We're taking the elites to Mars.
I'm rumbled.
I might as well tell you the whole story now. we are doing that. We're going to Mars and we're colonizing Mars. So they find out during the course of this documentary that the Russians and the Americans are in cahoots and the space race hasn't slowed down and stuff like that.
Yeah.
What they've been doing is sending astronauts up on the pretense of building sort of things on the moon, on the dark side of the moon, the Russians and the Americans together, so that they can then get to Mars and colonize Mars. But the land on Mars and what's on Mars? It's the aliens. There's aliens there. But it doesn't really go into any of that. No, it's kind of stuff, just, it?
Like, they don't really go into that. You would have thought that would be a massive part of it. But they're just like, oh, yeah, actually, that video was some footage from Mars, and that's why it was corrupted. But here it is. We can show you it. You can't really tell what it is.
You can't see what it is. Yeah, you can't see what it is. And this video is from 1962 or something like that, isn't it? So before it even
predates the moon landing and all of that. Yeah. But the clever thing is, I guess, that they keep interspersing like real news footage and stuff
to
make it seem more real. So it is impressive, but there's some ridiculous bits which kind of betray the serious. Also, they're saying they're not trying to really trick people too much. It was meant to be on April the 1st. We say it came out on April the 1st. It's got credits saying this guy played this guy, this guy played this guy. It was never intended to be totally serious. So, they're throwing in some over-the-top dramatic bits in it. And, I think they're happy that people believed it, but also had enough get out of jail for,
Obviously
it's not massively serious. So it's interesting, but I was like, at first I was a little bit like, what the fuck's going on here? But by the end, I was like, okay, I get it.
It's just interesting for me that it predates all these Blair Witch stuff and other things. I mean, it's 1977, massively ahead of its time, isn't it? And it did convince people. I love hoaxes of any kind.
You love hoaxes. You love conspiracy theories. You love sci-fi. So, this is perfect for you.
And it was good. And I just loved the Partridge Brass Eye bits.
Yeah, those bits were real funny. Like, it was nice to watch them. And you've got to think that Chris Morris must have seen this.
He must have done. And I love the astronaut's wife in Boston.
Not the film, she was which great. Is terrible.
I do actually like that. Is that the Johnny Depp one?
Yeah, it's awful.
Oh, I like that film, man. I like that one. I also like the other Johnny Depp one where he's in a shopping centre and Christopher Walken's got to get him to do stuff. Otherwise, he'll kill his wife. He'll kill his daughter. Have you seen that one? Is it Time or something?
Go and try on that. Ask the lady in that shop to put some blusher on, Johnny. I've got a quiz.
No.
This is a quiz from last week.
No.
It's a quiz. So you can imagine how well I can read me writing when it was a week ago. And also, I didn't really write the questions down because I wrote it just before we recorded last week. So
does your writing deteriorate over time? Does it?
It fades.
It fades. It gets increasingly worse.
I just don't want people to discover me musing, so I use a pen that fades over the course of the week.
All right.
But no, essentially, I'm going to have to do my own quiz in my head, a Jeopardy-style quiz, and then try and remember what the question was to you. But I know
I'm confused already.
Well, I've basically got answers.
Okay. So I have to guess the question.
Well, I'm going to tell you what I think the question is, and then you give me the answer that I've got written down here.
You're going to tell me what you think the question is.
I'm going to ask you what I assume the question would have been last week.
That is the same thing, just said in a different way.
Well, I'm doubling down on it.
Go on then. Let's go
it's
for it,
about
whatever it is.
Musician arrests.
Right, okay.
Bob Dylan was arrested in New Jersey in 2003.
Ooh.
What for, though?
I believe he was arrested for the theft of a Santa Claus hat and beard.
Yeah.
Is that it?
It wasn't. It was, this is the bit I can't remember. I know kind of what the answer is. Basically, he looked suspicious. He was rooting. He was basically wandering around in the state, and he looked suspicious.
I know. He was trying to buy a house or something.
He was in a musician's, like, I don't know, it was not Roy Orbison, but he was in like somebody, like a famous musician's, like, garden, like looking at the house that was up for sale, and he had a hoodie
some
on.
Some woman
like that.
Ran the police or something and says, "There's a weird man in my garden." And he says, "I'm looking for houses or something."
He said, "I'm looking to buy a house." Chris Robinson of the Black Crowes was arrested in 1991. Do you know why? Some woman, he was in a shop, in a 7-Eleven, and basically somebody said, "You're not Chris Robinson from the band," and he got really annoyed and he kicked off with this lady in the shop. They said, "You don't know who I am," and that was it. He got arrested for public, like,
so somebody went up to him and said, "You're not Chris Robinson,"
apparently. So somebody said, "Oh, there's the guy from the Black Crowes," and the guy she was with was like, "Who the fuck are they?" And he was like,
"Yeah,
what the fuck do you mean you don't know who we are?" And he got annoyed that this fellow was like, "Yeah, well, whoever." Peter Buck from REM, lovely man, good guitarist.
Yes.
Knows his way around a mandolin. He got arrested for air rage.
Yeah, I was going to say that, actually.
I
thought that would have been the answer.
Well, can you remember what he did, what he said had happened that caused him the air rage?
No, but I can remember that he got arrested for air rage. I mean, he's not up there waiting around chopping hands off, is he?
He said, like, "Oh, I would never have done this, but I've had 15 glasses of wine."
15 glasses of wine?
Yeah, 15 glasses
of
wine.
That's enough to send anyone over the edge?
And he sprayed the flight attendant with a pot of yogurt.
How can he spray someone with yogurt?
Maybe he opened it.
It comes out very slowly, in my experience.
It's quite
from the Buddhism.
I know, and it's very
experiences.
And then it's very viscous as well, isn't it?
It is very viscous. How can he spray somebody with it?
Anyway, he was let off with it anyway. He got cleared. He got cleared of 2 counts of common assault and 1 count of damaging British Airways crockery.
How can you be accused of common assault twice with 1 yogurt?
2 different people. Jerry Lee Lewis. So in 1976, he was arrested in Memphis. I think that's where he's from.
Tennessee.
Tennessee. Can you remember?
The home of Elvis.
Yes.
Correct, I'm on the right track.
Correct answer.
So he was arrested because of the home of Elvis.
Because he was trying to get into Graceland, going, "I want to see Elvis." And they were just like, "What the fuck are you on about?" And anyway, he was like trying to break into Graceland, essentially. He's like, "He's your friend.
He should have been let in, shouldn't he? Surely he should have been."
I mean, I would let him in. He sounds like a pretty good
guy. He's got young wives, hasn't he? They could have talked about their young wives together.
Yeah, they could have done that, yes. So the last one, I don't know the name of this person. But I think it's D'R.C. Retzky from the Smashing Pumpkins band.
Right. Is that the singer? No, that's not the singer. The bald fella, Billy Corgan. Because there's a woman.
It's the woman.
Right, it's the woman.
It's the woman, okay. Pumpkin.
The Chinese looking woman.
No, that's a guy. Anyway, D.R.C. Retzky, the woman of the woman pumpkin. In 2011, she got done for 4 counts of what?
4 counts of being a shite bassist.
No, it was failing to control our horses.
I said failing?
You said fingering.
I didn't know anything about her horses. Well, she can't control horses.
Our horses ran wild to the small town she lives in. She was arrested due to animals running at large. she failed to turn up to court 4 times.
What she sent them on Eddie Lodge for? That's what I want to know. What's he got to do with it?
It was part of his fitness regime, but nobody bought it.
Lodge runs it. From home.
Anyway, was that a quiz, really?
It was very confusing. I was very confused by it. Obviously, you didn't actually know any of the answers.
All the questions.
All the questions. So it's getting more confusing as it goes. Right, music. We've got music from Three Little Wolves this week. And it's this one's called Need You More.
What do you think?
Which I think it's good. I like it. I like it a lot. What
I
do
like
you think?
It a lot. It's not as kind of in your face and aggressive as the last couple of weeks or the last few weeks.
No, it's not.
But I really, really like it. It's a bit more chilled out, but lovely. Yeah, I really like it. Where are these guys from?
Well, they're from Brum, so they're from Birmingham, but they've got a scout soul as well.
Okay.
So it's a bit mysterious, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, great. Yeah, I thought this was really good. So thank you, everyone, for listening. And I hope my microphone's been okay this week, because the last couple of weeks I've pulled the cable out, and when I put it back in, it hasn't worked. So hopefully it's all right.
I think you've been okay this week.
Right. Three Little Wolves. Bye.
Yes.
Speak to you next week. Bye.
Living life like a hurricane. Don't believe in everything that's happening. Go insane, zone it off and focus on what's happening. And I need you more than you'll ever know. And I need you just 'cause I want you so.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods
for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.